Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we have a great Savior who loved us and gave himself up for us. And all those that come to him, he will hold fast to the very end. We're thankful for the confidence that we have in our Savior, and pray, Lord, that you'll use this time today that we might rightly represent and honor our Savior in this world. We commit this time to you in our Savior's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, please. And you can take your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to talk about what it is to act like a man today. So let me just read verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." With these five commands, the Apostle Paul closes and summarizes this letter that he's written to the Corinthians. These commands address the major issues that he's been dealing with throughout the book. And at the center of these commands, you see the one that says, act like men. Act like men. And he says that without any explanation, because apparently they understood what he meant. The question we want to ask ourselves today is, do we understand what that means to act like men? I think that this is the greatest need of the day in the church. We need men who will act like men. Men who are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men who will live by his promises and trust in his power, acting like men. The reality is that many men have been in church for years, maybe even decades, and they've never become all the man that they could have become. And sometimes that's because of their own lack of self-discipline or commitment, but also I think in large parts because the church hasn't done very well at equipping men like we should have to be men of God. We don't want that to be true here at Compass Long Beach. We want to equip men who will act like men. So let me give you three words that come from this statement, act like men, that explain biblically what it means. What does it mean when it says act like men? And we need to look at this because this is a time to act like men. So the first word I want to give you there, and you can take notes on your handout if you want. The first word is the word responsible. A man is somebody who is responsible. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God made men to be leaders. Couldn't be any clearer. We have a responsibility to be a leader. In Genesis 2:18, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper. And God created the woman. And the fact that he refers to the woman as the helper implies that the man's the leader. He's the leader. She's the helper. He's to be the leader. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says that Christ is the head of the man. Man is the head of the woman. And so it couldn't be any clearer. Just like Christ is the head of every man, man needs to be the head of his woman. And it's not talking about superiority. It's not saying the man's better than the woman. It's not saying that at all. It's saying that we have different roles. And the role for the man is to be the leader. Ephesians 5:23 clearly says that the husband is the head of the wife. He's the head of the wife. He's the leader in that relationship. And in Ephesians 6:4, tells fathers to bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Obviously, a mother is involved in that process too, but God's looking to the husband, the man, the dad, as the one he's going to hold responsible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, is talking about how men need to be leaders in the church. Women shouldn't assume positions of authority over men in the church. And Paul supports that by going back to creation and saying man was created first. This is God's design. This is God's design that the man would be the leader. Men are to lead, and you're responsible to God for your leading. That is God's will. Unfortunately, many times in the church today, and especially in the home, too many men are not leading. Too many men are not leading. The wife is driving the bus. The wife is calling the shots. I mean, I grew up in a home where that was true. My mom was driving the bus. And maybe you did too. I think it's more common today, and it's more common in the church than ever, as far as I can tell. But that shouldn't surprise us, because in Genesis 3:16, we see that one of the results of sin is going to be, there's going to be conflict over who's leading in the home. That's an effect of sin in our lives. And that sin gets played out by men being lazy or uninvolved or just irresponsible, and women who are proud and domineering. We understand the challenge, okay, but the responsibility for the man stays the same. Stays the same. Man's responsible to be the leader. He's to love his wife. He's to set an example for his wife. He's to be involved with his wife. He's to be the Bible teacher in the home. He's to be the one setting the direction for the home. We need men like the sons of Issachar. You may have heard of these guys, or maybe not. You read about them in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, which says that they were men who knew how to discern the time and to know what Israel should do. That, to me, is leadership in a nutshell. It's not saying, hey, I'm the leader, do what I say. Hey, I've got the authority, you guys got to follow me. No, it's a guy who sees what needs to be done, and he does it. That's a leader. He's a leader. If we're going to act like men, we got to be responsible. Men are expected to be responsible leaders. Secondly, men are to be mature. To act like a man means to act maturely. And that was the main issue here in 1 Corinthians. If you just look with me back to chapter 3, verse 1, Apostle Paul says, "And I, brothers, was not able to speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to fleshly men, as to infants in Christ." That's when you should say, ouch. You don't want to go to a men's breakfast and have the speaker say, yeah, you guys are all acting like infants. That's basically what Paul was doing. And here's, he goes on to explain. "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're still not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you," are you not fleshly? Jealousy and strife. I don't know, does that happen in the church today? Yeah, and what they're striving over is who's their favorite Bible teacher. I listen to Paul's podcast. I've got Apollos' newsletter. Come on. That's what they were fighting about. 1 Corinthians 13, there's another reference to this. This is the great chapter on love. And again, it's a chapter of rebuke to an unloving group of people in that church in Corinth. And he says this in verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. A lot of men that are talking like, acting like children. Boys play, men work. A lot of men are still just playing around. And again, this is the context of rebuking them for their lack of love. They're acting like children. Chapter 14, he's talking about a problem that they're having about, you know, ranking certain spiritual gifts and wanting to be able to show off. And he says in verse 20, he says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Rather, in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. You need to be able to think maturely, act maturely, talk maturely. That's what it is to be a man. And that's the goal in the church, is to equip men who will be mature men, mature in their spiritual life. Turn with me over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 13. Where it says that he, Christ, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, and here's the goal, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. See, we need to be getting equipped through the teaching of God's word and through the mutual ministry within the church, things like this and our fellowship groups and a lot of other things that we do. We need to be getting equipped through all of this so that we might grow up and be mature, and here it defines that as being like Christ. Being like Christ. And we talk a lot about Christ's likeness, but I'm not sure we all think about much about what that really means and what that would look like. Am I as patient as Christ? Am I as kind as Christ? Am I as loving as Christ? Am I as faithful to the Father as Jesus was? Do I pray like Jesus? Can I use the Bible like Jesus did? Am I as committed to making disciples as Jesus was? That's what we're looking for, is a mature man who's like Christ, who represents Christ in the way that he lives his life. And if you read on to the next verse, this protects us, this equipping, this maturing. It says, so that we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. See, we need to be equipped, we need to be growing, we need to be maturing, otherwise we're open to being tricked. The goal is to be mature. In Colossians 1:28, Paul says, we proclaim Christ, we teach every man, we admonish every man in all wisdom, so that we might present every man mature in Christ. That's the goal. That's to act like a man. That's what Paul's getting at in 1 Corinthians primarily, is that they would live a mature life, mature Christian life. And let me just say something to the men who maybe now are starting to realize, yeah, my wife is driving the bus at my house. And I want to give you some thoughts about how to turn that around. And I've learned this the hard way, because there were two guys that I was working with in a previous church Two good men had lots of gifts. They had lots of ways that they could serve in the church. But what was holding them back is that their wife was leading their home. And so I had meetings with these guys. And I said to each one of them individually, I had individual meetings, I said, you need to be the leader at your home. You need to work at being a leader at home. And you'd have thought I'd have learned after the first one, but both of them went home and said, hey, honey, pastor says I should be the leader here. That was like a fail. That's a big time fail. If you realize that your wife is the one that's running the show, if you want to turn that around, you need to establish a lifestyle of responsibility and maturity. Not go home and say, hey, the Bible says I'm supposed to be the leader here. Do not do that. If she punches you, I won't blame her. Be a man who's responsible and mature. And if that wife of yours has a spiritual bone in her body, she will respond to that. And if she doesn't, well, then you're responsible and mature enough to handle it. You know, the Bible gives warnings in the book of Proverbs about how it's better to live in the corner of your roof than with a contentious woman. Remember that verse? And I used to think for a long time that was a warning to women. You don't want to be that contentious woman. But over time, I've begun to understand that what that's warning the man about creating a contentious woman. And now what do you got? You got a wife who's running the show, driving the bus, telling you what to do. And I think that's the creation of the man's poor leadership in the home. It's a warning to men. Because I'm pretty sure you didn't marry your wife because, man, I just love how contentious she is. I can't resist it. I don't think that's how it works. Now, if these two are happening in your life, if you're being responsible and acting in a mature way, now you're going to be a marked man. We have an enemy, and he's going to start paying attention to you, and he's going to be out to destroy you one way or another. So there's one more way that you need to act like a man. Third word would be strong. You need to be strong. You might have noticed in that passage in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, right after it says, act like men, the next command is be strong. Be strong. And that's the idea. Men are to be strong. Living as a man for God in this world is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And so often in the Bible, you'll see the words strong and courageous combined. Because the two go together. You're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to be strong, and you have to act in courageous ways because the world is not going to be affirming what you're wanting to do as a man. So I want you to take your Bibles. I want to do the little survey here and show you this. So start by turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Is it okay if we do like a Bible study at Compass Bible Church? At a men's event where we're talking about acting like men. Deuteronomy 31. And verse 6, these are Moses' last words to the people of Israel as they get ready to go into the land. And there's people living in that land that don't want them coming in. So it's not going to be easy. And verse 6, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or in dread of them, for Yahweh your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And I want you to start picking up on that. We'll develop this some more in a minute, this idea that the basis for us being strong and courageous is the fact that God is with us. And so that's through the people. Be strong and courageous. Verse 7, it says, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which Yahweh has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. So Joshua, you're the leader here now. You want the people to be strong and courageous. You need to be strong and courageous. You need to be trusting in the Lord's presence and his power to work with you. And then you see it again in Joshua chapter 1, just a few chapters over. And here's God speaking to Joshua, and he says, be strong and courageous, verse 6, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be prosperous wherever you go. So be strong and courageous. And that is acting like a man. That's how a man acts. I want to show you a really interesting passage. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And the Israelites, under the leadership of David as king, they're in a war against Ammon and Aram, or Syria, we would call it today. And they find themselves in a pickle. They're caught in between the two armies. And so the leader of the army, Joab, says, hey, I'll take these guys and fight those guys over there. And then he turns to his brother Abishai and says, you take the rest of the guys and you go fight. And if it's going poorly for you, we'll come and help you, and vice versa. And these are the words he says. In verse 12, 2 Samuel 10, 12, be strong and let us show strength for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and may Yahweh do what is good in his sight. Now, if you have a King James version with you, God bless you, because it says that Joab said to his brother Abishai, play the man. That's how they translated it. Play the man. Brother, it's time for us to act like men. That's the idea there. And some people throughout history have picked up on that term. In 1555, Queen of England was a lady named Mary, and we know her as Bloody Mary, because she was reestablishing the Catholic rule in England, and she's killing Protestants. And she would kill women and children, but mostly she was going after leaders in the church, because if you can get the leaders, then the rest of the people will be afraid. And two of those leaders were men whose last names were Latimer and Ridley. Latimer and Ridley, they were burned at the stake in Oxford, England, October 16th, 1555. And as they were lighting the fires, Latimer, who was the older of the two, said to Ridley, be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. Play the man. And that's what they needed to do, and they did. They did light a candle. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings 2, this is David's about to die. So he calls in his son Solomon, who's going to take over for him. And these are words you might want to remember when you're about to die and you're talking to your children. He says in verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, that David's time to die drew near. So he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I'm going the way of all the earth. So you shall be strong and be a what? Be a man, Solomon. You got to be a man. Be strong, be a man. You shall keep the responsibility given by Yahweh your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may be prosperous in all that you do and wherever you turn. We could have taught this whole lesson from those three verses. Because he talked about being a man, being strong, being responsible. That's what men do. That's what men do. Turn over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. You're saying, Pastor Brewster, we just got Old Testament examples? Well, hold on. We're getting to the New Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, they're being threatened by Assyria. The king of Assyria is a guy named Sennacherib. And it says, starting in verse 1, after these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities and thought to break into them for himself. Then Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he had set his face to make war on Jerusalem. And he took counsel with his commanders and his warriors to stop up the supply of water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. So many people gathered and stopped all the springs and the stream which flowed in the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find abundant water? And just as a footnote, if you've been to Israel or you're going to Israel, you'll probably take a hike down Hezekiah's tunnel. And this was built at that time. When they got water from outside the wall, they built a tunnel and brought it inside the city. That was for free. And verse 5, he strengthened himself and rebuilt all the wall that had been broken down and erected towers on it and built another outside wall and strengthened the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in great number. He also put military commanders over the people and gathered them to him in the square at the city gate and spoke to their hearts. Here he is, he's being a leader. He sees what needs to be done and it's getting done. He's mobilizing men to do it. And here's what he says in verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the multitude that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is Yahweh our God to help us and fight our battles. And the people were sustained by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. See, that's what a leader does. He sees what needs to be done, he gets it done, and he's able to encourage the people that are with him through the words that he's able to speak. That's a leader. That's a strong leader. And you'll notice, as I said, going through this, you'll see the leader finds his strength and his courage from his dependence upon God. He believes God's promises. He believes that God's with him. He believes God's power. And so he's able to act strong and courageous. One of my favorite statements, and I'll just read this one to you. It's a time when David was running from Saul, and he ran into the Philistine country, remember? And he's making friends with the Philistine king and all that. And then the Philistines are going to go to war against Israel. And so David and his men show up and say, hey, we'll help out. And the king says, great, David, you've been a great help to me. I really appreciate you. Let's do this. But then his generals were maybe a little smarter, and they said, we can't let this guy fight with us. Haven't you heard that hit song on the radio? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. This guy's going to turn on us as soon as he can. And so the king kind of wimps out and says, well, David, I really want you to go with us, but these guys don't, so maybe you should just go back home. So they go back home to this little city called Ziklag. Him and his mighty band of warriors, right? And the city had been attacked and everybody taken captive while they were gone. And so they get to the city and it's in on fire. And these guys that David had, they were not the choicest men around. And they were sad, they were mad, and it says in 1 Samuel 30 that they wanted to kill. They were going to stone David. This is your fault, David. You got us into this. And it says at the end of verse 6, but David strengthened himself in Yahweh his God. See, a leader has to be strong, and a leader knows where to go to get the strength. He strengthened himself in Yahweh his God. That's a powerful lesson. And you can see that all through the Psalms. David turning to the Lord in the difficult times of his life and finding strength in the Lord, which gave him strength to live in. And at the end of Psalm 27, verse 14, he says, hope in Yahweh, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. See, to act like a man, you really need to know God, and you really need to trust him and turn to him for your strength. In Psalm 31, verse 24, he says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for Yahweh. Be strong, let your heart take courage. Men are called to be strong. Now let's go to the New Testament, and let me show you a few things there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we noticed that the command right after act like men is to be strong. What you don't get from your English translation is that in the original, that command is in the passive. The command is to be strengthened. Be strengthened. You can't just make yourself spiritually strong. You've got to be strengthened, which means you've got to be humble. And you got to be dependent on the Lord to make you strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, simply be strong in the grace of God. We get strength from him, from his grace. He enables us. He empowers us. He strengthens us. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, 1. And I'll show you one other, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, he's talking about people in the church. Some are children, some are young men, some are older men. And he points out the differences between them. And the thing that he says about the young man in chapter 2, verse 14, this is the guy that's not a child anymore. He's on his way to being a spiritual father. And it says that young men are strong. The word of God abides in you. So see, that's where the strength comes from. It comes from the grace that's in Christ Jesus, the enabling grace that he gives, and it's fueled by the word of God. By believing, understanding and believing what the word of God says. And so, men, here's a really practical thing for you. You ought to wear out your Bible. Absolutely wear it out. And you need to learn how to even read your Bible. I'm not sure a lot of people even know how to read it these days. You need to learn how to read your Bible, study your Bible, listen to the Bible being taught with discerning ears. You need to be able to memorize scriptures so that at times when you face the common temptations in your life, you've got scripture to turn to, you've got it logged away in your mind, and you need to know how to meditate on God's word so that it really sinks down deep into your heart. You need to wear out your Bible. If you and I are going to act like men, and we're going to have an impact for Christ that outlasts our lifetime, then we must be responsible, mature, and strong. This is a big deal in the Bible. needs to be a big deal for us. And like I said, I think this is the biggest need of the hour, is for men who are responsible, mature, and strong. But you know, all of that is absolutely impossible apart from Christ. You can't become Christ-like if you're not in Christ. It's not a matter of just going home and trying harder to be responsible, mature, and strong. Because apart from Christ, you cannot. You can't. You can't be Christ-like if you're not in Christ. And maybe your failures at home are an indication of your immaturity and ways that you need to grow, or it could be evidence that you're not a Christian at all. You're trying to be a Christian on your own strength. You're not a Christian really at all. You've never fully given yourself to Christ. But the good news is that can all change right here, right now. You need to humble yourself, confess your sin, ask Christ to forgive you and change you, and you know what? He will. He will. Then and only then will you have the power necessary to be responsible, mature, and strong. God, be a godly man. Act like a man. And now's the time. Now is the time. It's time to act like men and be the man that God has intended you to be. You know, I have a 14-year-old grandson named Charlie. I love Charlie. Charlie is a freshman at Marina High School in Huntington Beach. And Compass Bible Church in Huntington Beach has a good-sized Christian club on the campus there at Marina High School. And Charlie's a part of that club. And so I was talking to him about it recently, saying, Charlie, what? Tell me about it. And he said, yeah, it's okay. It's a good-sized group. He said, but it's mostly girls. Now, maybe in a couple of years from now, that might not be a bad thing to him. But right now, freshman, right now, he's thinking, yeah, we need more men in this group. And when he said that to me, I said, Charlie, get used to it. Because the typical church, there's more women than men. Typical church, more women involved in serving than men. Typical church, women's events are bigger than men's events. Typical church, the women are buying more Christian books and they're studying their Bible a whole lot more. So Charlie, get used to it. But then I also said to him, Charlie, we're counting on your generation to turn this around. It needs to be turned around. Where men act like men at church. At some point, we need to just start acting like men. And so maybe you and I can help Charlie out and kind of kickstart this movement. So it's not just all on a 14-year-old freshman in high school. Maybe we can help him out. And maybe we can be those men that help to turn this thing around. How about that? Does that sound okay? Yeah. All right. Well, let me pray for us. Father, we're thankful that we do have your word and that it is so clear that we can look to your word and find the truth about what it is to be a man and understand what that looks like in our world today. Lord, I pray for us as men that we would be those men who act like it, who follow your word, who trust in you, who rely on your grace, who wear out our copies of your word, and so that it becomes who we are, men who are responsible, men who are mature, and men who are strong. Lord, I would pray particularly for the men here today who have recognized right here today that, yeah, their wife is driving the bus. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom and patience, that they might grow to be the leaders that they need to be. For the good of their home, for the good of their marriage, for the good of their wife, for the strengthening of the church even. Lord, I pray you give them great wisdom in learning how to turn that around. And Lord, I pray particularly for men here today who realize that they're not in Christ. Maybe they're just here to check it out, or maybe they've been trying to be a man of God, but they just can't do it. Maybe they've recognized that they don't know Christ at all. I pray that today would be the day that they would open up their eyes and their ears to hear what you have to say, and that they would fully trust in you to save them and to change them. And that they would know that enabling grace that you give in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for all of us as men in this church, as a new church, as a church that has the opportunity to chart the course that we're going to go for decades to come. I pray that it would be a church that's marked by strong, godly men who are strong in their convictions, strong in their responsibilities, but at the same time are humble, dependent, gentle, kind, loving men who care about others. And they see what needs to be done, and they're willing to do it. So, Father, I pray that you'll work in all of our hearts, bring us to that point where we are truly acting like men as you've commanded us in your word. And so we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now on the back of your handout there at the bottom, there's a couple of application questions that you can discuss at your table. And every table should have a leader there that's going to kind of guide you through your conversation. So there's those two questions. You might take a look at those and just talk about them for a while. And then in a little bit, Pastor Brad Comstock is going to come up and close us in prayer. All right? So let's have a good discussion.